Lord, this is what I think about you. This is how I feel. This is my gratitude. The King became my Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. It's not the message, it's more just as the choir is finding their seats. You know, it ought to be evident to this world what a mess that it's in. And every news report is filled with more chaos and conflict and unrest and anger and bitterness and fighting. If there was ever a time, and it always has, but if there's ever the time our world needed peace on earth, goodwill towards men, it's the time that we live in. And no program, nothing man comes up with is going to bring that peace and goodwill. But God's plan does. God's plan does. God has made a provision where there can be peace on earth and goodwill towards men. What a message that we have. Amen. If you turn in your scriptures to Luke chapter 2, we want to look at the events of Christmas and have God speak to us by His Spirit afresh from a story we know so well, and yet we'll never get to the depths of the wonders of this story. Luke chapter 2. Again, as you're turning, we're grateful for everyone that's here and our visitors. And amen. Just appreciate those that are worshiping this morning and entering into the presence of God. Would you stand for the reading of God's word as is our custom? Only read three verses now. You may want to keep your scripture open. We'll look at other verses of this narrative as we proceed this morning. But in verse 7 of chapter 2, "And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And they," the shepherds, verse 16, "and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." We have shepherds out in the field. We have a baby in the manger. We have the announcement of the angels. And then we have the shepherds and the babe together there at that location. I want to minister this morning from God's word on the meeting at the manger. The meeting at the manger. The shepherds met there. They met the babe, the Savior. Hallelujah. I want to trust that there will be a meeting this morning when some soul will find their heart and their life in the presence of their Savior and leave here radically changed by the power of that Savior who came as a babe. The meeting at the manger. Heavenly Father, truly shut up our hearts in this place to the Holy Spirit. Let us have ever distraction, ever random thought removed, and help us just to focus on the good news of your coming. Nor may this be an eternal moment. May we leave this place this morning with eternal changes having been made in our hearts and in our lives. Holy Spirit, only you can do that work. And I pray right now you'll settle in upon this place. You know everybody that's come to this gathering. You know every heart. You know, Lord, you're speaking already to folks and letting them know the love of God and the mercies of God and the nearness of Christ. And Lord, may we leave this service with new souls added, new people added to the kingdom of God with the hope of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. The meeting at the manger. I want you to imagine with me if I begin to reason with you and said this. Let's think about this. Would you agree with this? Mexican food is food, right? It's good, so good so far. So far so good. Mexican food is food. Italian food is food. Chinese food is food. American food is food. They're all food, right? Therefore, since they're all food, they'll all have the same effect on our taste buds, right? No. Now you say, if you believe that, you've gone bonkers, but I want to tell you, we live in a culture that reasons the same way. You see, the in vogue way to reason, the cultured way of reasoning, the smart, intelligent way of looking at things is to say this. You'll hear it all the time today. Buddhism is religion, right? Hinduism is religion, right? Islam is religion, right? Shintoism is religion, right? Christianity is religion. They're all religions. Therefore, they'll all have the same effect. They all worship the same God, and they'll all get you to the same place. That's the way our world reasons. But I want to tell you, whatever else is said, there are profound differences between Christianity and all other religions. And one of those differences is illustrated in this story of the coming Savior, this nativity story. Amen. Whatever else is said, we got to focus on these differences. And there is one glaring difference for which we can be eternally grateful. And I want to share that difference that is in this nativity story. And that difference between Christianity and all other religions is this. In all other religions, we have the record of humans seeking out God. But in Christianity, we have the record of God seeking out humanity. You may say this morning, well, I'm not really looking for God. That changes nothing. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. Amen. God seeks out humans. Let me put it another way. God comes to us. Amen. God, you know, at the very beginning, at the very first book, Adam and Eve sinned. But God didn't just walk off and leave them. But God came to the sinning, shameful Adam and Eve. He didn't just let them walk away. He didn't just let them hide out. But searching for them, He came to Adam and Eve. You know what that tells me? God takes the initiative. God loves mankind enough that He makes the first move. Amen. He comes to us even when we're not coming to Him. Amen. Some theologians call this prevenient grace. God has always made the first move. And can I tell you, when we celebrate the coming of Jesus as a babe, we are celebrating the fact that God made the first move. God took the initiative. And when we could not go to where He was, God came to us as a babe in the manger. Oh, can you praise Him this morning? Can you just say, thank you, Lord, that you came to me. Amen. As a babe, Jesus came all the way from heaven to a little town called Bethlehem. Amen. He came a long way. But listen, herein is another truth we must deal with in this story. Amen. God came all the way from heaven to Bethlehem, and the shepherds were in a field outside of Bethlehem. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? What are you trying to say? Let's get the picture here. God came all the way from heaven to Bethlehem, and that's just a little ways from the fields the shepherds are in. God came for them, but He left the last few steps for those humans, those shepherds. And I want you to know that is true. God has come to us, but He's left the last few steps for us to take. Amen. Those last few steps were the decisions of the shepherd. Amen. He has come. The Savior has come. But will we take the last few steps? Oh, listen to me, church. The truth we got to get a hold of. We can rejoice that God has come to us, but we must know He's left just a few steps for us. What are those steps? They're the steps of believing, the step of faith. I believe you come into the world to save a sinner like me. I believe you came because there's no other way of salvation. The step of faith, the step of repentance. I've been wrong. My way's been wrong. My life's been wrong. My thinking's been wrong. My doing's been wrong. I've been wrong. The step of faith, the step of repentance, and the step of confession. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins against you. I'm telling you, he's came all the way to heaven and only left a few steps. But oh, what a change in your life. If you just take those few last steps of faith and repentance and of confession, you would find a Savior for your soul. Hallelujah. Let's look at the story. In the story, first of all, there was the message. The message. He has come. And Luke verse 9 said, the angel of the Lord came upon them. In verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I've got good news to share to you shepherds. Verse 11 is that good news. It is the message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Oh, that's good news. Darkness had settled thickly upon the fields. The fire had died down to glowing embers. Amen. The speaking, the talking of the shepherds had petered down to nothing. Even only the only sound perhaps was a few distant dogs barking somewhere off on the horizon. Some of the shepherds had cocooned within their tunic up next to the fire to sleep a little bit before the time of their watch. And then those shepherds on their watch were looking out at that milling, circling mass of wool, those sheep. And they were scanning the circumference looking for any sign of a jackal or of a lion or of a thief. It was a silent night, and all of a sudden, like what would be to us, a firework going off in their midst. All of a sudden, there was a burst of light and a figure too bright, too large to be human. Even some of the shepherds waking recoiled, others froze in fear. And that figure spoke with a voice and said, fear not, I'm not here to trouble you. I'm not here to frighten you. I'm here because I've got good news to share to you. Amen. Just now, a little ways away in that little town of Bethlehem, your Savior, your Messiah, your Christ, your Deliverer has been born. Oh, what an interruption on a night. But oh, what good news. What exciting news. What awesome news. What incredible news. I don't know all how it affected those shepherds, but I believe this morning, this Christmas celebration 2014, we ought to find the news just as awesome, just as incredible, that unto you and you and you and you and me, unto you has been born a Savior, which is Christ. Oh, what a message. What good news. I want you to note the good news was not shared first with the nobility, nor with the rich, nor with the scholars, nor with the social elite, nor with the religious hierarchy. But the good news was shared with lowly shepherds. Lowly shepherds. Nobody thought much of them. They didn't think much of themselves. I'm not saying the message isn't for the rich and the scholar. I'm just saying it's for the humble and the lowly. Anybody that's ever received from God is somebody that has humbled their heart. But aren't you glad? Amen. It wasn't reserved for the noble, the specially educated, the very intellectual. But from the very start, the message came to the lowly. And the message was, he has come. The Savior has come. He didn't come through a time warp. He didn't come on a spaceship. He didn't come riding a sunbeam or a moonbeam. No, he came through the transfer of life from the eternal God into a human zygote in Mary's womb. But the Savior has come. The Savior God in the flesh. And the most wonderful part of that announcement is the two words, the second and the third word of the verse you're looking at, unto you. Amen. It was first spoken to the shepherds. Unto you means he's come for your benefit. He's come for your well-being. He's he's come to save you. Hallelujah. I've got to make some conclusions from this first presentation of the message, the gospel. If humans did not need saving, why did he come? I said, if humans didn't need saving, why did he come? If humans could save themselves through money, education, philosophy, if humans could save themselves, why did he come? I know the drumbeat today is there's many ways, and all ways are the same. But if there's other ways of salvation, why did he come? But listen, it's not that way. Humans did need to be saved. Humans cannot save themselves, and there is no other way. Therefore, the good news is the Savior has come to us. Oh, what a Christmas message. What great news. The Father sent the Son. The Son willingly came, knowing he would be a sacrifice. And the angels announced and sang at his birth an invitation for all who will to come to this Savior. I want you to believe it. If you're here this morning, your life may be in ruins, or it may not. You may think you need help, or you may not. You may be seeking, or you may not. It changes nothing, because unto you a Savior has been born. Hallelujah. The angels preached that message to the shepherds. But from that point on, the announcing of that good news was not the responsibility of angels, but of humans. Because once the shepherds got the message, they're the ones that shared it. How many knows that we can share this good news in this season? Not only was there the message, there was the move. Or the response to the good news, the message. In verse 12, the angel said, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger." I want you to look at that verse, but I want you to think of something. The shepherds had heard the message that in Bethlehem was born a Savior. But that brought up a question. Now that they knew it, would they go to that Savior? The Savior's over there, just right over there in the little town of Bethlehem. But would they go? Would they respond to the message? You say, well, I don't see an invitation to those shepherds to go. I do. Look what it says right there. A Savior has been born, and ye shall find the babe. The invitation to the shepherd is in that terminology, ye shall find. In other words, the angels intended them to go looking for him. Now that they knew that he was just right there in the next little town, the invitation of the angels is, if you'll go looking for him, you're going to find him. Oh, hallelujah. That implies the shepherds could go and should go to where the newly born Savior was to be found. You know, just like this morning, I want us to think across this building, but just like this morning, the shepherds could have made excuses. They heard the good news, the Savior's born. They could have said, but it's awfully late. We'll get to it in the morning. I mean, we'll do it another day. They could have said, well, what about the sheep? We can't possibly leave these sheep and go and to search out this child. Or they could have said, it's awfully dark. I mean, we'll wait until we can see the path better into time, into town. Or perhaps they said another time. But the point I want to make, the angel gave the invitation, but the angel never forced them to go. He never took them by the hand. He just said, a wonderful thing has happened. A Savior has been born, and you'll find him if you go looking for him. Oh, what a message. What an invitation. Even the message, though moving for the moment in that dark night, would have had no lasting effect if the shepherds had not gone and seen and experienced. Even I've seen many times this message has been preached, and it's been moving, it's been stirring, it's been touching, and people were moved by this message, but it'll have no lasting effect. It'll make no change in your life unless you say, wait a minute, if the Savior has come all the way from heaven, I'm going to come to Him and give my life to Him. Oh, hallelujah. But they didn't just hear the message. They responded to the message. And by the way, the fact that they responded shows to me the power of this message. There are folks, their hearts, they don't even realize how desperately they need a Savior. They just know life's a mess. Life's not worth living. Life is dark. But oh, if they could just hear, there is a Savior. There's a pull in that. There's a draw in it. Because if a Savior has come, amen, I can go to Him. I can be saved. My life can be changed. Hallelujah. I begin this message by saying Christianity is different. God takes the initiative. God makes the first move. But He not only does that with humanity in general, He does that with humanity specifically in each one of our cases. Amen. God took the initiative. God came to your address. God came knocking on the door of your heart. Amen. God came all the way from heaven for you and you and you and you. Oh, what a gospel. Oh, but the question is, now that He's come, now that He's made the first move, amen, am I going to respond? You see, God has made that momentous move, but it's our move now to take the last few steps. Have you ever played somebody chess or checkers? You're both sitting there just kind of looking at each other. And finally, one of you say, you know it's your move, don't you? It's not my move. Oh, yes, it is. I moved right here. It's your move now. You ever been there across the board? I'm telling you, God made the tremendous move. And some folks just kind of sit there with their lives and stare. And God's saying, it's your move now. And that's true for this service. You've heard the good news. God has loved you, reached out to you, came to you. He's pursued you. He's knocked on your door. And He's saying to you in this very service what the angel said to the shepherds. It's your move now. Hallelujah. Those last few steps. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. There was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Their excitement, the angel's excitement, was an indication of how wonderful finding this newborn Savior would be. What a wonderful thing. Their announcement was, you can come. You'll find that He'll bring you peace and goodwill. Verse 15, and it came to pass after the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Amen. After the angels were gone away, it was the moment of decision. Will we go? The preacher closes the message. Amen. It's a moment of decision. Will I come to Christ? Amen. The message has been completed. Amen. The moment is passing. Will I surrender, go to Christ, and surrender my life? You know, the unspoken thing said by the angels was, God came all the way from heaven. Can't you shepherds go the last little bit? And I am glad to report that the shepherds not only heard the message, they made their move. They responded and said, if He came all the way from heaven, we'll go the last little bit. Yes, we'll go. Yes, we'll go to Him. Yes, we'll search Him out. And I can tell anyone here that it's not serve Christ. Your life can be forever. Ever changed. If you'll but determine and say, the Savior has come, I will go to Him. The Savior is here, I will go to Him. He came all the way to from heaven to save me. This morning, I will walk this aisle and take the last few steps and kneel at these steps we use as an altar. I'll take the last few steps and I'll come to Him. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad He made the first move? How many can remember when you made your move in response and said, we will now go unto and see this Savior? Last of all, there was the meeting there at the manger. There was the message. The shepherds made their move. They were not disappointed. There was a meeting, verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It sounds redundant, but I'm just doing it to make a point. He came all the way from heaven. They took the few steps and crossed the field. But the paths intersected. The God from heaven, the shepherds from the field, they met at the manger. How many remembers when you met Jesus? How many remembers when he crossed your path? Glory to God. Oh, what a meeting there at the manger. I begin to think a little bit about that meeting. It was lowly shepherds and the great king, the Messiah. They met. Temporal, finite, deteriorating humanity met the timeless God. The sinner met the Savior. Guilt and shame met the good news of forgiveness. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the meeting of the shepherds and the babe. Hurt met healing. How many had that happen to you when you came to Jesus? Hurt met healing. Loneliness met love. Hopelessness met hope. Darkness met light. Meaninglessness met a sense of purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Lostness met the finder. Hallelujah. I'm talking there can be a meeting between the God who has come from heaven and you who has come to this point in time. He came to where they might find him. He wasn't born, as far as these shepherds were concerned, on a remote island in the South Pacific where they could never cross the ocean. But he came to a little town outside their fields. He came to a position they could find him. They could I tell you this morning, you say that hasn't happened to me. He was born in over by Jerusalem in Bethlehem, not here in America. I'm telling you, forever human. He has come to your town. He has come outside your fields. He has positioned himself close enough that you can find him. If you would seek for him, you could touch him. If you could reach, he would hear you. If you would call out to him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The preacher said in Acts, speaking of humanity, they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him. Amen. Though he be not far from every one of us. Why is he not far from every one of us? Because God came as a babe. He's not far. He's near enough to find. The angel said, he's come. Amen. The shepherd said, let's go and see if it's true. And the report was, and they found it so. They found the babe. Could I tell you, if you take the last few steps, you'd find him. You'd find forgiveness. You'd find a cleansing of your mind and heart. You'd find hope. You'd find help. You'd find oh, what a meeting that would be when you met Jesus, the Savior that has come all the way from. Oh, what a meeting. And it could be your meeting this morning. I've thought of this a little bit in a new light. I know things have changed in the maternity realm at hospitals, but I don't think it's changed as much as we have here. Think about these shepherds bursting in to that place where Mary had just given birth. How many of you mothers that have given birth, you would have really liked that? You just given birth, you just wrapped up your baby, and all of a sudden a bunch of men you never saw before, outdoorsmen, came bursting into the hospital room right where you're at. How many of you mothers would really have appreciated that? See, we don't think about things, but that's what happened. She had no clue who they were. They looked rough because they're outdoorsmen. Amen. And suddenly they were there. But I want to tell you something I believe, because I've sensed the moving of the Holy Spirit before. And I've sensed those moments before. I think Mary, even though she was taken by surprise, even though they were strangers, even though neither party had seen each other, I think everybody there at that place around that manger knew that there was something different in the atmosphere. I think they felt something eternal taking place. I think they knew that this was a unique God-sent moment. I think Mary, Joseph, the shepherds knew that this was going to be a monumental, life-changing meeting. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, the babe, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. They found him and it changed their life, and they went everywhere reporting the change of their life. They were excited. They were thrilled. They were in awe. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. It's so wonderful, amen, when you hear the message. But it's more wonderful when you respond and come to Jesus. It will be a life-changing event. You cannot keep silent. You'll go to work the next day and say, I met him. I met my Savior. Amen. You'll go to school the next day. I met my Savior. Verse 18, and they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned. Amen. They answered the message. They took the few steps. They found him. Their lives were changed, and they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The meeting at the manger and the shepherds' lives are forever changed. How do you know it? They couldn't stop talking about that night. They couldn't stop bubbling over in their souls. They lived a different life after that meeting at the manger. Their meeting at the Savior at the manger altered not only their lives, but their eternity. And I want to tell you, you can call it old-fashioned and primitive and all of that, but I believe when an individual hears the good news that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and the Savior has come, if a person takes those steps of faith and repentance and confessions, I believe they'll meet the Savior. And I also believe you'll know it. They'll know it. Amen. Everybody in their family will know it. Because when you truly meet him, you cannot leave unaltered. You cannot leave unchanged. You cannot leave the same way when you truly meet him. When he, oh, hallelujah. What a difference in your life when Jesus comes into your heart. Nothing else can give you that. No other philosophy, no other religion. That life change. Amen. There's folks here across this building that can testify. You came into this house, one person, but you heard the good news. You took the last few steps. You met the Savior. And when you got up, you were changed. You were a new creation. I said you were a new person. You had a new destiny. You had a new outlook. You had a new perspective. Everything was changed. I'm telling you, someone has walked in this building, amen, this morning, and you can sense it, just like the shepherds and Mary. You can sense it. He is here. He has come. This is going to be a life-changing experience for you this morning, because here in a moment, he's come all the way from glory, but here in a moment, you're going to take the last few steps from the fields of sin, from the fields of selfishness, from the fields of hopelessness. You'll take the last few steps and you're going to meet the Savior, and you'll leave here changed for time and eternity. Would you come, music? It's just an illustration. Please hear me across this building. Folks, begin to pray in your heart that God will change somebody's eternity this morning. It's just an illustration. I don't compare myself to God in any way. But there was a time when Sandra and I were newly married that someone in close relation in our family had suddenly left the church, left serving God, and went out deep into sin. I was so disturbed about it, I drove 200 miles. And I went immediately to this person's apartment, and it was cold. I knew they were there. Their vehicle was there. There were signs they were there. And I knocked on their door, but they must have peeked out and saw it was me, and they would not answer. And I knocked and I knocked, and I stood there and knocked. I stood there close to an hour, and they would not come to the door.
my effort really isn't anything, but there is a comparison to draw. I came 200 miles, and they couldn't walk a half a dozen steps and open the door. He came all the way from heaven. Can't we come the last few steps from the fields to Bethlehem and meet him? Meet him. Let me tell you one other thing. Would you stand across the building? I want you to hear me. I'm not opening another sermon. I want you to hear me. Now we don't come as the shepherds did. We don't come to a manger. We come to something on the other side of his life. We come to the cross where he shed his blood so our sins could be forgiven. And I want to tell you, if you'll kneel at that cross this morning and say, Jesus, you came to die as a sacrifice for my sins. I believe that. My life's been wrong. I repent. Lord, I confess my sins and my need of a Savior. If you'll meet him at the cross, your life will be forever changed. I heard a little bit of an old song this week, and it's just been ringing over and over as I've prepared this message. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Would you bow your hearts and heads? Who's ready to meet him at the cross this morning? He's come all the way from heaven. You're ready to take the last few steps this morning. I want you to take those. If you're not familiar with our ways, we use these steps that you saw up front where I'm standing. We use them as an altar. But how many's ready to take those next few steps? He's come all the way from heaven. Go ahead and come. Amen. Would you go ahead and come? You want to take those last few steps? Amen. Amen. Just go ahead and come. Someone will be here to pray with you immediately. Amen. He's come all the way from heaven. You want to take those last few steps. You know this is an eternal moment. You can feel it. You can feel it. You know, God, are there others that would like to come? Amen. And some ladies to pray with this young lady and others that have come this morning. Would you come right now? You know this is an eternal moment. You know God brought you here. You're hearing the good news. You say, you don't know where I'm at. He came to lowly shepherds. Amen. Would you come right now? This is your eternal moment. You can leave here with a life change. Take those extra steps. Take those extra steps. He came all the way. All the way. Amen. That's it. That's it. There's others. Amen. Would you come? Come meet the Savior. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. First of all, you say, I believe. I believe the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I believe. I believe. Can we have some more help praying for these around the front? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe. I believe Jesus came to die for my sins. I believe he shed his blood on a cross so I could be forgiven. I believe. I want to tell you, believe this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. I want you to hear this. Whosoever, it don't matter your name, doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter where you've come from. Amen. If you will call on the name of the Lord, he'll save you. That's why he came from heaven. That's why he came from heaven. I believe. I believe. Amen. Whoever else would like to come, join us in praying. Either pray for these folks or find a place to pray. I believe. Just believe. He came for you. You say, I'm not much. Well, none of us are much. But he came to lowly shepherds. Amen. Folks that the rest of society had dismissed. Amen. He came. He came. Oh, believe it this morning. Believe if you were the only one, he would have died for you. Believe it this morning. If you were the only one, he would have died for you. Oh, hallelujah. There's folks taking those last few steps, the step of faith, the step of repentance. Listen, a heart filled with self never gets anywhere with God. Hear me, a heart filled with self and self ways never gets anywhere with God. Oh, but if you would just repent, My way of thinking's been wrong. My way of doing things has been wrong. My way of feeling about things has been wrong. Oh, repent. I'm sorry. Confess your sins, but also confess your Savior. I believe in Jesus. Oh, He'll forgive. He'll wash. Come on, pour out your heart to God. Pour out your heart to God. Pour out your heart to God. Your heart. There's room. There's still room. You see, I don't see room around the front. There's a few spots up here. We'll make room. We'll make room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. This is an eternal moment. Stretch forth the hand this direction. Let's pray. There's a meeting with the Savior taking place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a meeting with the Savior. Pour out your heart. Pour out your
yes,
heart.
Yes, there's room.
Pour
at
out
the
your heart.
Cross for
call out
you.
To Him. Reach out to Him. Oh, come on, let Him do something eternal. Lord, I remove my facade. I remove my facade, Lord. I come to you as I am. I come without one plea. I come without one pretense. I come, Lord. Holy Spirit, change their life.
The millions have come.
Oh, hallelujah.
There's still
hallelujah.
Room for one.
Oh,
yes, there's room.
Oh,
at the cross.
Pour out your heart
you.
To God. Tell Him how it is. He knows you. God made the first
there's
move this morning, but you've responded.
At the cross
God made the first move,
for
but
you've
responded. Hallelujah.
There is room at the cross for you.
Oh,
the millions have
if any person's
come,
in Christ, he is a new creation.
Still
all things are passed
one.
Away. All things
yes,
are. He'll give you peace.
At
he'll give you
the
peace.
Cross
he'll give you
for
peace.
You.
Oh, you're making those last few steps. You're coming to where He is. He came all the way from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
There is room at the cross.
Oh, hallelujah.
The millions have come.
Let His Spirit come upon you. Let His Spirit work that change
yes,
in your
feet.
That change
at
in your
the
heart.
Cross
that change in your life.
You. There is room at the cross for you. There is room at the cross for you.
I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord.
At the cross for you.
You know this moment. It wasn't just the message moved you, but that you made those steps. You found He's not far from you. If your soul's not satisfied as yet, remember, reach out. Seek for Him. He's not far from you right now. And as the angel said, ye shall find Him. Ye shall find Him. I'm going to tell you. If you're in the altar this morning and you're seeking for Him, you'll find Him. He's here. He's come. Oh, there's room.